Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to talk to you this morning about faith, but I want to talk to you about the results of coming to faith, right? I'm not talking about necessarily the faith, the result of my faith is that I was healed, or the, which can be the result, or the result of my faith was God touched me and I was blessed, or my bills were paid, or whatever. But I want to talk to you this morning about the reality of coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Does that make sense? And because the reason that I'm doing this is, and again, I'm not the judge and I'm not judging anybody else. But when I came to the Lord and I got saved, I've said it to you this way, I got saved. I mean, I went into a room one way and came out a completely different way. I didn't do the things I did the day before, the day after. And it wasn't because anybody preached to me. It wasn't because I knew this is right and this is wrong. Of course, I knew some right and wrong things, of course. But the reality was I did it because my heart was changed in an instant when I yielded my heart to the Lord. So if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at a dramatic turnaround by somebody being confronted face to face with Jesus. And did you know that's our job, to go into the world and be witnesses for Him? Did you know that's your job? It's my job to all those who believe in my name, go do these things. Hallelujah. Did you know, I believe this, that even the gifts of the Spirit, which we saw some operated in this morning, I believe Sharon operated prophetically. Gordon gave a tongue and I interpreted it. Those are just gifts of the Spirit that are outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But I believe the gifts of the Spirit, listen to me carefully, are for the church, but for the church, so that the church gets comfortable using them so that God can use us in the world in the gifts of the Spirit. So when somebody who doesn't know Jesus needs a word from God, we have it. And we're comfortable using it because we have that witness on the inside of us. But what happens when somebody comes face to face with Jesus? You know this story, but just bear with me and let's read it again. And then Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he went to the big guys in Jerusalem and said, listen, I'm going out and I'm getting me some more of those Christians who are coming against what we believed in, and I'm a Pharisee and they're not following the law the way that I think they should, and I'm going to go get some more, and I'm not satisfied with just doing it in Jerusalem. I'm not even satisfied doing it in Judea. I want to go to Damascus, which is in Syria, and pull them back. Crazy, isn't it? Well, first of all, watch this. What happened was because of the persecution, Jews went everywhere spreading the gospel. So sometimes in the midst of our troubles and being pushed in another place, it could just be that God is moving us to spread the word. Are you with me? But here's Saul, and he's he's just on fire with zeal to catch Christians and to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. And he was even complicit in seeing Stephen killed, right? This is the Saul. Verse 3 says, as he journeyed, came to near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats. What's he saying? He's saying, look at such a traumatic thing, such an encounter that most of us don't get. We don't get this supernatural appearing of Jesus. But some of ours are pretty supernatural, right? When I got saved, I had a man that was witnessing to me, and he said, God told me this, and God told me that, and Jesus is coming soon, and God said this, and God said that, and I'm just freaking out going, this guy is either high, or is there a possibility that God really speaks to him? So I'm not saying out loud, but in my mind I'm saying, Lord, actually, I said it this way, God, if there is a God, if you're really speaking to him, have him start talking about this thing that's going on in my life. And the very next words out of his mouth were exactly what I went to God with. And I said, man, that's quite a coincidence. So I asked God to do it again, and he did. And then my thought was, see, God supernaturally used a believer with words of knowledge to be able to speak to my heart. He's the same God today. He wants to do that through us, but we have to be open to that, right? Because God wants to confront people with the reality of who Jesus is. But also part of that confrontation is the reality of who you are before Christ. Right? If somebody doesn't know they're sick, they never go to a doctor. Hello? But when somebody knows that they're dying or that they're hurting, they'll go to a doctor. And the same thing sometimes is true with Christians or non-believers, that they have to know that they got a problem before they go to Jesus. Right? So Jesus confronts Saul. He says, hey, dude, why are you picking on me? Picking on you? Who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. So Saul came face to face with the Savior. Glory to God. But watch this. This is so awesome. Verse 6 says, so he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, the moment that he was confronted with who God was, he first of all, he called Jesus who he was persecuting, and the people that Jesus had commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel, he was putting in jail. The minute that it was revealed to him who he was, he said, Lord. Lord means master. Lord means teacher. Lord means you're in charge. What do you want me to do? You see, when a heart is truly confronted by Jesus, the response is, Lord. Lord. Now, what can I get out of this? Or how can this Christianity thing benefit me? But it's, Lord, what would you have me to do? And much of Sharon's word this morning was, look at, are you willing to be one of those that God can say, I need you. And you respond, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When somebody truly is confronted by the Spirit with this kind of confrontation, the only response is, Lord. Are you with me? Glory to God. Now, and again, I'm not the judge, and I'm not the one that's going to be up in heaven and saying, okay, those meant it, those didn't mean it, but God knows the heart of the person who says the prayer that we call the sinner's prayer. He knows their heart, whether they're truly believing in their heart, but I'm of the opinion that if somebody truly believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord, the result of their faith should be change. And not change because it's dictated to them, but change because their heart is changed. Right? God, I just want whatever you want. I want to be who you want me to be. Now we're going to follow Paul just a little bit and see if some of this applies to us. And another thing that is always on my heart and on my mind is in the book of Revelation where Jesus is talking to the church and he says, listen, I got this one thing against you. You've left your first love. And another place he says, depart from me, I never knew you. But God, I prayed in tongues. I sang on the worship team. God, I preached the gospel. God, I did all of these things. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Your heart and my heart were never one. So those two things combined is, first of all, Lord, are we all right? The fear of the Lord brings me, Lord, are we all right? And the second part of that is, Lord, have I taken you for granted? You know, the killer of most relationships is the fact that we take one another for granted after we've been with each other for very long. And we don't prize or treasure the gift that's been given to us in each other. That's so true with us and Jesus. Right? Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Here's Saul. He's in this position. And Jesus responded, then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. I like this. So Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. In other words, Lord, are you sure? I'm seeing this vision, Lord, but you know who you're talking about? There's oftentimes, if we're open to the Spirit of God, God will tell us, listen, I want you to go talk to this person in the store. You know where it happens to me a lot is waitresses. God will just speak to me, tell them about this. Or ask them if there's something you can pray for them about. And he'll give me words of knowledge. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's happened several times. Right? But the question is, when he says, puts it on my heart, it's not like I hear this booming voice and I, you know, get this goosebumps feeling on the inside or anything like that. It's just a thought that comes to me. And then I have to say, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure you want me to do this? Because I'm going to look pretty foolish if I'm wrong. Hello? But watch this. If Jesus is Lord of our life, then our whole purpose for being here is so that he can use us to introduce somebody else to who he is. That's it.
That's right.
I mean, we have jobs, we have homes, we have all kinds of responsibilities, but the number one purpose is so that God can use us, right? And so here's Ananias, and God says, listen, I want you to go pray for Paul. Are you sure? Verse 14, and here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. Lord, he could put me in jail. He could take me back to, you sure you want me to go down there? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Listen, we're all chosen. We may not be called to go to Damascus. We may not be called to preach. We may not be called to do, you know, go on mission trips or anything like that. But every one of us is called. But is the result of our faith obedience to his voice? Because that's what is required. Hello? I want to be used by God. Now think about this for a minute. Here is Saul, who we call Paul. But here's Saul, and he's had education in the things of Judaism for so long. He was called a Pharisee, called himself a Pharisee of Pharisees, blameless in the things of the law. And so he learned and had a mindset that was in total agreement with what he was doing and thought he was doing righteous things for God. Now, all of a sudden, this has all changed. What now? Right? What now? And we're going to see that he was so excited that he began to preach. And people got touched in this town. And you think, well, man, that's awesome. And it was awesome. But you know what cost him? It cost him to be persecuted. People didn't trust him. It cost him to be persecuted. In fact, the believers had to tell him, get out of here because they're going to kill you. Right? So watch this. This is so awesome. So awesome. Well, let's go. I want to take you to a couple of verses. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. So what happens after we come to faith? What's the process? What should be, it's different for everybody, but I think there's some examples in the Word that should kind of give us a little bit of a hint of whether really the faith is as genuine as it could be. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me and that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Very, very interesting. He got saved, but he wanted his relationship with Jesus based on his relationship with Jesus and not filtered through somebody else. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for discipleship, and I'm not saying that there's not a place for Bible schools, and I'm not saying that there's not a place for all of these things, but that's not the basis of our relationship with Jesus. Come on. It's having a personal relationship with him, but it's also us pursuing that relationship. Do you do that by coming to church? Yes. But if that's all you're doing, then you're not really pursuing your relationship with Jesus. You're just fulfilling your duty. Hello? So what am I saying? If we're really saved, then we want to know him. When we're really saved, we want to pursue him. And again, I only have my testimony. I don't have yours. But when I got saved, I went to every Bible study I could find. On Saturdays, I went to Full Gospel Businessmen Association in downtown Seattle. I lived in Seattle and was working in Bremerton at the time. And so I had the ferry ride going from Seattle to Bremerton and the evening coming from Bremerton back to Seattle. And it was an hour each way, thereabouts, 55 minutes to be more accurate. But the whole time, I had my little Bible. Paperback Living Bible that I had with me. And I was reading and I was talking to Jesus. Why? Because he was talking to me. And I pursued that relationship with him. And it was precious to me. It was precious to me. So what I'm saying is, if the fruit of us really coming to faith should be our pursuit of him. Right? I want to know you, Lord. We sing that. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Is that still true for us? Is it really true for us? I believe somebody who's truly come to the faith, that is the next step. Hallelujah. And we get bogged down with life so much. No, look, I'm going to read verse 15 again. But when pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. 3 years seeking him in Damascus. And he got what we call the Pauline revelation about how that God wanted to come to the Gentiles by faith apart from the law. And that's what we're living in today. But 3 years, and here's what I think he did. Now, it's not written anywhere, and it's my supposition, so take it for that. But I think he went to the synagogue and he got a scroll and he went out into the desert and he began to read that scroll. And then he said, oh, I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in Genesis. I see Jesus in Exodus. I see Jesus, come on, in every book of the law and the prophets. And there's Jesus and he fulfilled this and he did this and he did that and he did this. And this is the result of my studying for 3 years. I've come to the knowledge of who he was as revealed in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the prophets. Come on. That's who he was. And so, again, we can study the Bible to get a lesson, which I do every week, to get a message to preach a couple times a week. I do that, but if that's the only thing I'm doing, then I'm missing it. Because I should be in the Bible to find him. And again, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus will speak to you if you listen. Hallelujah. Jesus will speak to you if you listen. Are you listening? Is the result of your faith, do you have an ear to hear, like he said with the sower? And are you still listening? You might have been at it 10 years. You might have been at it 20 years. You might have been at it 30 years. You might have been at it 60 or 70 years. But are we still listening? Are we still wanting? Are we still seeking him in the scripture? Hallelujah. You know, there's a verse of the scripture that says, listen, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to teach them to observe everything that I've taught you. Are we still looking for what he said? Is this making sense to anybody this morning? What am I trying to do this morning? I'm trying to bring you back to the simplicity of your faith and your relationship with God and let that be the catapult to put you in a position to begin to seek him again like he's really there and seek him again like he'll really talk to you and seek him again like he'll really do something in your life. Your ministry is born out of your relationship and not the other way around. I don't please God because of what I do for God. I please God because he loves me and that I have a heart for him. Right? I'm seeking the heart of God and not the hand of God. You know, hallelujah. So the results of our faith should be action. It should be a desire to do what He wants us to do, but it has to be born out of our relationship with Him. All right, go back to, and we're using Saul as an example, but go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. I study. I read books. I've been to Bible school. And I still go on YouTube and listen to other people's sermons. And all of those things are wonderful. They're awesome. But that is not a substitute for me getting alone with God and hearing from God what He wants me to do. Right? And our faith should be a result that God will speak to me. God will use me. God will touch me. Chapter 11, and go to verse 25. I love this. Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. So Saul had been away, right, in the desert. They hadn't heard from him. So watch this. Watch this. So cool. Barnabas said, "Where's that Saul guy? We're going to go find him." And I believe that was the Holy Spirit, you know, wanting to use him. Watch this now. This is really good. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, so that he was a whole year there assembled with the church with a great many people, and his disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So watch this. Paul, as a result of his faith, got alone with God. But when he got full of God, God sent somebody for him so that he could bring him to the church to be used. In other words, our whole deal, and even coming on Sunday morning, should be, this is our fill-up station so that we can go out into the world and be used by God, not necessarily to tell people about our religion, but tell people about the relationship that we have with God and what that can mean for us to them. Right? I can tell you that God loves you, and He does, based on what I've heard somebody else say. But when I tell you God loves you, I know that He loves you because He loves me. Are you with me? I know God can heal your body because He's healed mine. I know God can reveal Himself to you because He's revealed Himself to me. I know that even in the midst of where you are, even if you're a long ways away from what God has for you and you're killing people that He wants to really send you to, He can get a hold of you and change you and use you. And I know, and I can relate that to you because He's done it for me. You can trust the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But as a result of your faith and as a result of your seeking Him, He'll use you. Hallelujah. Faith results. Watch this. This is so good. Verse 27, in those days the prophet came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren in Judea. This they did and sent by the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. He was in the desert. God brought him out of the desert because He was seeking Him, and He said, "I want to use you." And He not only sent him to Antioch, but after a year, He sent him to Jerusalem again. Go to chapter 13. chapter 13. Now look at this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, remember that was the first place they called them Christians, there were certain prophets and teacher, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, I find that fascinating. As they ministered to the Lord, how do you minister to the Lord? I think worship is a great way. But worshiping Him not because everybody else is doing it, but from your heart worshiping Him. Do you know the difference between, I know it, I can sing a song to the Lord and be genuine in singing it, but my heart's not fully in it. That's one thing, and I've been guilty of doing that. But when I forget about everything else and my heart is to the Lord when I'm singing the song, same word, same music, same everything, it's a completely different deal. And I believe these men were together with their hearts ministering to the Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But in that, Lord, we want to know what you want us to do. What you want us to do. Oftentimes, the result of some people just saying a prayer is, God, okay, now that I'm saved, you need to do this for me, you need to do that for me, and you need to do this for me, and you need to do that for me. And God, if you don't, I'm going to be mad and resentful because you didn't do what I wanted. But true faith is not out for what God can do for you. It's what you can do for God. What do you want from me, God? If it costs me my whole life, I'll do it. If it costs me everything, I'll do it. Unless you tell me different, Lord, I'm going to keep doing what you've told me to do with a smile on my face, with faith in my heart, because it's a result of that first day when we came together. Are you with me? Hallelujah. That's so precious and so good. So they're ministering to the Lord and fasting. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. See, there was time spent before they even went out doing the ministry that they were called to, but they developed a relationship with God so that they could hear His voice, so that in the midst of the service they could know what to do, when to do, but it wasn't for their benefit, it was for His benefit. The result of faith in Jesus is wanting to seek Him. Wanting to please Him. Wanting to do for Him rather than doing for you. Jesus made some statements that aren't real popular, but they're true nonetheless. He said, if you would like to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. And I've told you a couple weeks ago that for the first time, I received something about that I'd never seen before, and it was this. If I look at Jesus as my example, His cross was taking the place of people and doing something that cost Him everything so that others could be blessed even though He didn't have to do it. What does that mean? My taking up my cross is laying down my rights to be right so that I can bless somebody else and pick up their slack and grace them when they don't deserve it. Love them when it's not what I want to do in my heart, but do it anyway because God's love is on the inside of me. Picking up my cross is dying to myself so that I can be used by God to live for you. That'd fix a lot of marriages. That'd fix a lot of churches. That would fix a lot of things, right? I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for God. And God has told me that if I want to follow Him, I've got to put my cross on every day. And it's not the big thing that we wear around the neck. It's the attitude that we have that I'm laying my life down for Him. But because of that, He is going to allow me to lay my life down for you. That's powerful, isn't it? But the result of our faith should be that that's our stance. That's how we want to live our lives. Glory to God. And watch this. This is incredible because Jesus, I believe when Saul was seeking Him, told him everything that he was going to have to go through in his obedience. What does that mean? I believe Jesus showed him, maybe not specifically, but you're going to be whipped, you're going to be beaten, and you're going to be killed for my name's sake. Still willing to go? Still want to do it? Yeah, my faith in you compels me to do what you're asking me to do because I love you. I'm talking about the results of a saving faith compels us to do what we don't want to do because only, and the only reason is because you said so. You said so. Go. I don't want to go, but Lord, I'm going because you want me to go. Does this make sense to us? Come on. Hallelujah. Now I want to look at something else because I believe genuine faith causes us to abandon everything that's precious to us in order to fulfill His call for us. And go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Glory, 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 glory. You know, in preparing this, I had to repent for a lot of whining. In other words, God, this isn't fair, and this didn't, and Lord, forget all of that. I first came to you, and I loved you, and you loved me, and you spoke to me. And you told me certain things that I needed to do, and you put on my heart which Bible school to go to, and you set me, and you gave me a wonderful wife, and we've been through a lot together, right? And I don't want to use this in any way terms to what he suffered, but we've suffered some things, right? Just dealing with people, right? We all know that. We all go through that, right? But it's nothing. If I focus on that, I'm going to lose focus on the reason that I'm serving him anyway, right? Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says this. I'm going to read through 47 and come back and comment. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of the bread. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread and from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily all those who are being saved. Now here's what I want you to recognize, as Paul Harvey said, in the rest of the story. Right? The rest of the story is, once these people gave their heart to Jesus, they were dead to their families. They were They lost their income because they were ostracized in their communities. So what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. The genuine faith and the result of a genuine faith is, if it costs me everything, I'll do it. And I'll give myself gladly to it. And I'm going to be so in love with you, Jesus, that you can use me to meet the needs of anyone. Did you know that if we hold so tight to our possessions that we won't give them away, they're an idol to us? And the Holy Spirit is concerned with that. You know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, where they sold a piece of ground and they brought it and made a big deal. Here's the land, here's the purchase price, and look at us. And Peter says, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Well, we did sell our land, and we did bring some money. Yeah, but you kept back part of it, but you're portraying it like you've given it all to us. It's yours to do with what you want to, but don't lie to the Holy Ghost about it to us. Here's all I'm saying is that we need to take our possessions every day, whatever that is, whatever's precious to you, and say, Lord, it belongs to you. You gave it to me. It could be things, it could be people, it could be many different things, but as a result of our faith should be that, Lord, everything that I have belongs to you, and I will gladly give it to whoever you want. Is this easy? No, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's really funny because there have been times and we've been blessed and God's spoken to us and we've given things away to people, you know, because God told us to, right? And we think that that would, you know, in the natural, you think, man, they're really going to be blessed. And the result of that in the natural should be that they're going to be our friends forever. Not so much, right? Not so much. Sometimes you start giving to people and they come back to you like they're entitled to it. And then they resent you when you don't give it. But that's not on me. If I get resentful, watch this, if I get resentful to somebody over their reaction to me, then I didn't give it to them in the first place with love. And so I have to examine my heart and go back and say, Lord, I gave that to you as a result of you giving me everything that I need for salvation and for righteousness. And so I repent of that. And what they do with what I gave them is between you and them, not me. Does that make sense? How many have carried resentments because you haven't yielded those hurts to the Lord? It's time for us to do that. It's just time for us to do that. You see, the result of your faith in Jesus is that you can trust Him with everything. Everything. But in that trust, you have to be willing to give Him everything. Right? Hallelujah. I believe God wants us to be so in love with Him, and He wants to prove Himself to us over and over again that He's with us. That this type of life will be thrilling because He'll show up and blow your mind all the time. Right? And He does. He does. He does. He does. I mean, we've been 1995 is in January 1st of 1995 was the date that we started A New Beginning Family Christian Center. But the reality was, is we were born out of a different church, and we've been meeting for 3 or 4 months before then. But from that day to this day, he's taking care of us. It's all right. They're just back there figuring out who needs to go potty. And watch this. Watch this. It's important for us to come back to the complete trust in him and the willing to lay our lives down for whatever he wants for us to do. That's the result of our faith. And that's getting back to the first love that I believe is talked about in Revelation. Amen? That type of life, though, is incredible. It's so good. Did you get something this morning? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. We honor you. We praise you. We believe you. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, in my own heart, and I'm praying for those that are listening and even those that are here, that we want to yield ourselves to you 100%. And if we've picked up anything in our lives that doesn't please you, Lord, we want to lay that back down at your feet. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that God, you've raised him from the dead. Lord, you are in charge of me, and I yield myself to you. And Lord, I yield to your spirit right now, and pray, Holy Spirit, that you would deal with every heart that's in the room, every heart that's listening online or will listen in the future. God, that you just touch them and be with them. Right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just yield to you. Have your way in us. Speak to us. Our success or our failure in life is not determined outside of your will. Our success is determined by us being in the center of your will. Forgive us, Lord, for taking on worry. Forgive us, Lord, for not trusting you. For right now, at this moment, we yield our hearts to you. Jesus, 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 be Lord of our lives. We trust you, we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name. Father, all those that are listening online, God, I would ask that you would touch them, be with them, bless them. You're their healer, Lord. You're their provider. You're the one who has paid the price that they could be delivered from every demonic stronghold. And we just thank you, God, for that power working in them in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us online.